This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're focusing in on family law, divorce options, and the collaborative practice, which we'll let you know about. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar of California. Also, the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, which certifies 11 fields of law, appellate law, bankruptcy law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, franchise and distribution law, immigration and nationality law, taxation law, workers' compensation law, legal malpractice law, and admiralty and maritime law. Your Legal Rights is also funded by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. My guests are George Richardson, Certified Specialist in Family Law. His office is in Palo Alto. Stephanie Maloney, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst from Playa del Rey, which is in Southern California. And Anne Bouchot, Dr. Anne Bouchot, clinical psychologist and immediate past president of Collaborative Practice Marin. Her office is in San Rafael. All right, let's do this, if you don't mind. Anne, what is collaborative practice in a nutshell? What does it mean?
Collaborative practice is a divorce process option that many people don't know about, and we're really happy to be here to let you know about the process. It involves a process of several professionals, an attorney for each party, a neutral financial specialist, and a mental health professional who help people go through the divorce process without going to court. It's a respectful process that focuses on the needs of each person in the family, particularly the needs of the children.
Let me throw this to you, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. If a client or patient or client comes to you and says, "I am so angry at my spouse. I just want to get divorced. I just can't take it anymore." So you're confronted with someone who wants to get a divorce, is terribly angry. Can you, in your experience, help that person to realize anger isn't going to help and get that person into a collaborative practice mode?
I think very often it's possible when people begin to focus on what really matters to them. And if there are children involved, that's usually a place where we can go. We can talk about the welfare of the children. I also ask questions about how's the anger going to affect you in this process? Are you going to use the anger to motivate you through this process, or do you want to find new ways to resolve the problem of the divorce and make decisions together with your spouse that are healthy for everyone in the family and help get some help with managing the anger in that process?
So you are saying then that the collaborative practice, even though we have an attorney, we have a certified divorce financial analyst, we have a clinical psychologist or mental health person involved, this together will help the family have a healthier experience in this divorce procedure and for the future. Is that right?
Yes, I believe that that's true. I do this because I'm passionate about helping families come to peace after divorce. And I know that if they go through a divorce process that doesn't tear the family apart, they'll do better. And by the end of the process, in a successful collaborative process, the family should be on its way to recovery.
You know, I think most people who are not rich are concerned about the cost. And when you start talking about an attorney, you start talking about a certified divorce financial analyst and or certified financial planner, and you're talking about a person who is a clinical psychologist, it starts ringing bells and I'm waving flags, Stephanie, and you are a certified divorce financial analyst. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think you're using or working with the professional that's going to be most specifically trained to help you in the area that you need help. So you're working with the financial specialist to help you with the financial issues of divorce. You're working with the mental health professional that's going to be trained to help you with the emotional piece of your divorce. And you're working with the lawyer that's going to consult you on the legal issues of your divorce.
But I'm concerned. What I'm trying to do in standing in the shoes of I think, a lot of people listening to this program, is this more costly when you're dealing with, in the collaborative process, the attorney, the clinical psychologist, the financial analyst, George?
That's a really great question, Chuck, and I really appreciate that. What I have found is that when I did litigation, I do not do litigation today, but when I did litigation, I was expected to be a financial analyst. I was expected to be a psychologist or a mental health professional. I was expected to know all of the important things about the developmental stages of children. I was expected to be able to understand and project what's going to happen if I get this asset as compared to that asset, or if I have to pay this stream of income. And what I find now is that I am able to turn to Anne, and I can say, Anne, you know, we have some really challenging questions to resolve with respect to the kids, and this is your area of expertise. And so she'll take on that task. I'm not doing it at my exorbitant rates. Someone else is doing it at a much less cost, typically less cost, and of great significance, someone who really understands and has been trained. A mental health professional is trained for years to get their degree and then has to apprentice, if you will, for thousands of hours before they're allowed to practice. I don't have any of that, and I was expected to do the same kind of thing.
Stephanie, why is it necessary when we have a lawyer representing someone, a family lawyer, a certified specialist such as George here, who's jumped over a lot of hoops to become a certified specialist by the California Board of Legal Specialization to be able to have that specialization title. Why do we need a financial analyst such as yourself, someone who is a certified divorce financial analyst, when this man, George, can do it? Why do we need you?
Well, I use software, financial planning software, that can help clients really look at the future consequences of the decisions that they're making. So it's not just about what the law provides, but it's also what is going to work for their family today, what's going to work for their family, you know, 5 years from now when their kids are going to college, when they want to also look at retirement, and how is their divorce going to affect that? And I think that's what's different versus in the litigation model, where they're really just looking backwards and trying to prove to try to get the most.
Is it fair to say that in your role as a certified divorce financial analyst, that essentially you are analyzing the assets of the family for both parties, the husband and the wife, or
to try to find a balance for the family to be able to reach the goals, their financial goals that they had even when they were married, and now that they probably still want to send their kids to college, they probably still want to retire, they probably have a lot of the same financial goals that they had being married.
Are you doing this essentially for both parties? In other words, if we have a marriage between a man and a woman and we have children, are you doing this for both of,
for
of
everyone.
The
parties?
For
yes.
everyone.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So we're not going to have two financial analysts.
Not okay. Normally.
Okay.
Nor are you going to have that service duplicated in two law offices.
I see.
And you mentioned, you know, a man or a woman. I would just want to say
same sex, I would think.
I was going to say one of the things is that about a collaborative process, particularly, is that when we're dealing with same gender families or unmarried parents of different genders.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
There are a lot of considerations which are very different, and we can address them more successfully where we're focusing on the interests and the needs of the family as compared to rights and entitlements. Mm-hmm. I know that your program is called Know Your Rights.
Your legal rights.
Yeah. And we really emphasize what's important for the family solution that works best for everyone. Of course, I as a lawyer, I'm going to absolutely make sure that the person I'm working with knows what those legal rights and obligations are.
Of course.
But
we're not going to make that.
But the financial will help develop all kinds of options. So we'll be able to develop many different financial options, not just the entitlements or rights that people think they might have.
The philosophy of my program, this is the 31st year that I'm doing this program, is to educate people about the law, whatever the area may be where they're having the dispute, and also to try to prevent problems. And to me, in terms of the collaborative practice that you are here talking about on this segment of Your Legal Rights, is something that helps people to prevent the anger continuing, hopefully, and haunting these people for, if they have kids, for many, many years to come in.
Or even if they don't. What we know, though, as far as the welfare of kids post-divorce is that the two factors that lead children to the worst outcomes are ongoing conflict between the parents. Yeah. What, even if the kids aren't witnessing it, sometimes parents think they're keeping it from the children, but the children can tell that there's conflict.
Body language of the parents, of course.
And the other probably really important factor is the involvement of both parents in the children's lives and their schools and their friends. And those two are generally interests that parents have. So when we, you know, when we talk about the law is just one factor in decision making. And when clients come in, the first thing we want to ask them is, what really matters to you when this is all over? What is the story you want your kids to tell their friends about their parents' divorce? What really matters? And once we understand what each of their interests are and what's really important to them and what they need, and we also understand what the children really need, then we can come up with all kinds of solutions or options for them to consider. And what Stephanie and other financial specialists bring to this process is the ability to ease some of their anxiety by showing what these options might look like over time, over the next 6 months, 2 years, 5 years.
And when you talk about cost, which is a question that people always have when we're talking about the cost of divorce, can you imagine the impact of having someone working with the parents on the conflict, in reducing the conflict and therefore increasing their own ability to work together towards a common goal, which may be something as simple as making sure our kids are okay? And that plays through the entire matter. So we work with them on communications. As a team, we will support each other and the clients with learning ways of hearing and being heard much more effectively.
Well, you talk about prevention, and I think part of the prevention that we do in collaborative is come up with processes to be able to resolve the conflict, either financial conflict or conflict with the emotional conflict. Mm-hmm. You come up with a way to do it, not just the answer for today.
The three of you are members of Collaborative Practice California, this organization, which is a statewide organization. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
It is.
And what I want to do is I want to give all of you who are listening to this program the website so that there's some very valuable information on that, and I'd like you to jot this down if you have some interest or some concern that puts you in a situation either of being in a divorce or possibly maybe in a divorce. It's www.cpcal.org, www.cpcal.org. And I know that the organization has workshops, and this, I think, could be very, very valuable for people, workshops throughout the state of California. Could you, George, talk a little bit about how can they find out about these workshops, when they are and where they are?
Absolutely, Chuck. They can go to that website you just mentioned, and right on the front page is a click to our divorce options, and they can find out where they are. There are divorce options workshops offered typically on Saturdays throughout the state of California, from as far south as San Diego all the way up in through San Rafael and as far east as Sacramento and Roseville and Fresno.
Santa Rosa,
I guess that's even further north. So this is a place where people can come to learn not just about collaborative practice, but about what are the choices they have with respect to divorce, because you do have choices. We're talking about one of those choices, and I think all of us are very much in favor of non-adversarial approach to divorce, because this is family we're talking about, and people will always be family. So let's see if we can't find a way to do that uncoupling in a peaceful way.
Go ahead, Stephanie. Did you have something you want to say? No, okay.
I would like to add something about the divorce options workshop. This is Anne. So these are generally three-hour workshops offered all around the state, and they're offered very regularly. Most of the groups are offering them at least once a month. And they're taught by volunteer attorneys, mental health professionals, and financial specialists.
Is there a cost? It's a low cost,
but it I know in the Marin County group, no one is turned away for inability to pay, and people can sign up in advance and get a discount at Eventbrite.
Right. Okay.
And actually, not all groups actually charge.
And not all groups.
Santa Clara County is not charging people.
Ah, okay.
So if you all want to come down to Campbell.
Come down to Campbell, okay. Let me throw this out to you, if you don't mind, which I think is important for people to know about this. What kinds of questions should a client ask, whether it's a clinical psychologist, whether it's a certified divorce financial analyst, or whether it's the family lawyer who's going to be involved in the case? What kinds of questions, basic questions, would you suggest that people start thinking about to ask? Because I'm a great believer in people, no matter what the area of the law may be or the dispute may be, try to educate yourself to some degree before you actually launch yourself into whatever it is you're going to be doing. What kind of questions would you say, Anne, that people should be thinking about?
I think it's a really good question. When you're interviewing a professional, one of the most important thing is that you feel that this person is a good fit for you.
You feel good in your gut.
Yes, you have a good gut sense that this person understands you and has a style that you can work with. Mm-hmm. And because they're going to accompany you through perhaps the most painful transition of your life. Mm-hmm. And certainly a very stressful process, divorce. So I would say that people very often get names from their neighbors or their friends who are very well-intentioned, but they may not be the best professional for you. So I would ask questions about how this person works. If you're interested in exploring options of how the divorce process goes, mediation, collaborative, or other options, to ask questions about how this person works. Has he done collaborative cases? Has he or she worked in the collaborative process? Because I think you'd want to know more about how they work.
Well, I think that's the most important decision to make, is that decision about how you're going to do the process.
And would you define, by the way, I don't mean to interrupt, but I think it's important, what is the difference between collaborative process where people are cooperating with each other as opposed to mediation? What's the basic difference there?
Oh, well,
Anne,
I think,
please.
You know, I think a lot of people will say, I'm collaborative. I work collaboratively.
A lot of lawyers will say that for sure, but we really think you need to have a collaborative training. But I do want to come back to the question that you're still
addressing the thing that really sets collaborative with a capital C apart is that when clients participate in a collaborative process, they are agreeing up front not to go to court. In fact, they sign an agreement that they will not go to court. That takes the threat away. So in other processes, somebody might say, well, I don't like what you're saying, so I'll see you in court. Yeah. This takes the threat away. Both people are committing to do this in a respectful way without going to court. Mm. And they also agree to transparency. So they agree that they won't hold back any information, whether it's financial information, information about the children, that they'll fully participate with goodwill, and that they'll allow the professionals to communicate with each other so that everyone works together. In a good collaborative case, if you were a fly on the wall, you wouldn't be able to tell necessarily which attorney was working with which client.
Oh, really? Oh, that's very interesting.
Let me speak to that.
But there are two attorneys. If there are two,
there are always two lawyers, and that's really where I wanted to go with that, Chuck, is that it is always paramount in my mind that I am an advocate for my client.
Sure.
It's just that with Anne's help and with Stephanie's help, we've been able to work with the client to define their goals to be, I want to make sure that my family is okay, I want to be okay economically, and I want, believe it or not, my spouse ultimately to be okay economically because that's going to be the best for our children. We are uncoupling, but we're still going to have kids. So I'm always going to be an advocate for that, and I'm always an advocate for my client, and I always know who my client is.
Well, that's good to know.
But you're also advocating for the family. This is definitely.
I'm advocating for my client. My client has told me to advocate for
the
family.
Okay, right.
That's good.
And that, I think, is a distinction that lawyers probably understand more than others in terms of how we're trained. I wanted to say one thing about in terms of what we call a disqualification clause, which is that we'll be out of the case if the matter doesn't complete in collaboration. Two things I wanted to say. One is there's been a study that was sponsored by the Ministry of Justice in Canada that found that the quality of the negotiation in a collaborative matter is significantly, if you will, better or higher than it is even in a mediation context because it's sort of like you've shut the back door.
What does that mean by shutting the back door?
You don't get to go off to court and just willy-nilly. We can't keep people from going to court.
Yeah.
What the other thing we found is our International Academy of Collaborative Professionals, an international organization, has done a number of surveys. The most significant piece I wanted to share here was that approximately 10% of the cases that start in collaboration fail to complete. So 90% of cases that start in collaboration will complete in collaboration with resolution of every question facing the family.
That's a very significant statistic.
Let me go further.
Yeah.
Of the 10% that don't successfully complete, fully half of those, so 5% of the total body of cases have resolved some, if not all of them, clearly mm-hmm. not all of them, but there's only maybe one, possibly two questions still needing to be resolved mm-hmm. by an independent decision maker, judge or an arbitrator.
Mm-hmm.
So the result is that we can say 95% of the collaborative cases will result in a full or nearly full resolution of the problems that are facing the family. And when they do have to go to court, generally speaking, they're able to limit the concerns that have to be addressed. That 5% is a very unfortunate number. We'd like to be 100,
of course.
But it is 5%. And so we have a pretty high confidence that when people are willing to step into the collaborative process, that we'll be able to work with them and support them getting through it successfully so that as they face forward and look towards the future and their parenting and their financial welfare has been addressed in as successful a way as it can be.
Let me interrupt all three of you, if you don't mind. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on divorce options and the collaborative practice. You were just listening to George Richardson, who is a certified specialist in family law. My other guests are Stephanie Maloney, a certified financial planner and certified divorce financial analyst, and Anne Bouchau, who is a Ph.D., Dr. Anne Bouchau, clinical psychologist, immediate past president of Collaborative Practice Marin. For those of you who listen to us live, in a few minutes I will give the local phone number. You can call in, ask questions, make comments, have a chance to chat with my guests. If you're listening on the Internet at www.klw.org, you will also be able to call in. So be patient, and I will give that phone number in just a few minutes, and you can join us with your questions or your comments. We have a few minutes left in the program, and what do you do, if at all, if one of the parties, one of the spouses, has kind of a coercive control of the other spouse? How do you deal with someone like that?
Well,
George, we'll start with George, and then we're going to get some other comments.
I think as a family law lawyer, it's absolutely essential that I be aware and do my own limited ability sort of check on, is there coercive control involved in the family?
Mm-hmm.
When there is, and it certainly does happen, I think it's really important to turn to Anne and ask her to take a closer look at the person I'm with, or if possible, the couple, to do an assessment. Domestic violence and coercive control is a very serious matter. We don't ever want any of our people to be unsafe or to feel unsafe. So we need to take a look at that. And quite honestly, situations where we have genuine domestic violence or coercive control are probably not appropriate for non-adversarial solutions. They probably need to be in court. And that's
a
great solution for a lot of situations.
Yeah,
it should not be put down.
Court making orders if there is domestic violence, court making orders, stay away orders or whatever.
Yeah. So collaborative and mediation and other non-adversarial processes are voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
So what most people don't realize is that the default is litigation and that they need to choose another process if they want that. But there are some people who really shouldn't choose a process outside of court. They need an outside decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
And I would include families where there is violence or coercive control
as
they probably need an outside decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want to risk the safety of anyone in the family.
Of course. Okay. What else do we want to talk about before we take some calls from listeners?
You know, I think that one of the real marvelous tools that collaboration brings is the capacity to think about and plan ahead, given the resources that the family has, how are they going to be able to sustain themselves as separate households going forward. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the real values that Stephanie brings to the table is around the planning capacity that becomes part of the solution generation.
Well, and also simply planning for the divorce process. So
that's
looking
right.
What funds you may have available to be able to make the decision of what process you should choose. And that's when Ann was talking about the default. Sometimes people get into the default process and can't really afford it. And by knowing their
can't
options...
Can't really afford what, please?
Litigation.
Litigation, okay.
They start out slow, but their conflict or the process itself begins to snowball and they find themselves in a situation that they cannot afford. Mm-hmm. They give up their children's future education because they're in this
because
process.
Because they're battling and using all their money to battle each
to
other.
To battle each other. Mm-hmm. And so what the idea of having divorce options and understanding your options and getting back to what I said earlier about this idea of making that choice as your most important decision of what process you take can involve how much money you have available to put down on the process.
The website, www.cpcal.org, that's a statewide website. Can someone go to that and find out who in their geographic area in California are collaborative attorneys, are clinical psychologists, are certified divorce financial analysts? Is that included?
All they need to do is put in their area or their county and their zip code, and it will pull up which collaborative groups are available in their area. And then it'll take that to their group's website, which will give them the professionals.
Okay. So the group itself in that geographic area will have the names of those collaborative
professionals.
And all of those people will be trained in collaboration. Mm-hmm. This is something that's different for the different disciplines. So we need to be trained, and if we're trained, then we'll be in good shape to help them.
All right. It is 727, nearly 727 and a half at 91.7, your local public radio station, KALW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program in the family law area. A very important program in terms of people who are facing divorces. And we're talking about divorce options and the collaborative practice. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please join us. It's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. Whether you are in the Bay Area or if you're listening to the program on the internet at www.kalw.org, you can use that number, 1-415-841-4134. Also, let me mention to you that next week is our Call a Lawyer night, where you can talk to attorneys off the air while I'm doing a program, with the topic of which will be actually personal injuries and death caused by medical malpractice. And that number, 1-800-525-9917, if you want to join us then. But don't be bashful, by the way, with respect to your questions about family law. We're talking about collaborative practice. My guests are very experienced in this whole area of divorce. And if you have a question that may not quite fit into collaborative practice, I don't think my guests would mind talking and responding back to you. So again, the number 1-415-841-4134 if you would like to call in and ask a question, make a comment, etc. This is a very, I have found in all the years that I have been doing this program, this is a very difficult area for people to call in on, because they're concerned about their spouse identifying their voice. They're concerned about other persons maybe identifying their voice. And it can be embarrassing and difficult. Well, use a phony name. Use a phony name if you want, but take advantage of what we're trying to do here. And again, I think it's very important that you, if you are focused or confronted with a divorce and you're thinking about, gee, what should I do? How should I deal with this? I think this website that I've mentioned a couple of times is one that you want to make sure that you take a look at, www.cpcal.org, CP Collaborative Practice California, cpcal.org. All right, let's do this. Let's start with Carolyn. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Hi.
I wish I had heard of you guys before because I thought I had a settlement with my husband. So I went ahead and filed the paperwork and everything. And now he's saying, well, that's what you thought. So I do have a specific question.
Go ahead.
I had a little windfall about 4 years ago. So I moved out and bought a house. And we've been living separately the whole time. At that time, he quit claiming the house. So I'm just wondering if it's possible for him to get anything out of it at this point.
Are you in court right now, are you?
Well, not exactly. I mean, I filed.
You have filed. All right. So you're possibly headed toward a trial. Is that a possibility?
I sure hope not.
Okay, good.
You know, he's very cloudy on what he's planning.
Yeah, you know, let me mention this, Carolyn. The State Bar does not permit my guests to give specific legal advice, and obviously when you say you had a windfall, I don't know whether that was a inheritance you got or whether or not you won the lottery or whatever it is, and it would make a difference. It would make a difference, I think. But let me get...
Some of it was based on assets held before the marriage.
Oh, okay. Your separate assets, all right. Any of community assets that were used in terms of your buying this house?
Probably.
Ah, okay. All right. This is an honest woman here. George, what general comments do you have for her so that she can kind of start thinking about this? And do you have an attorney, Carolyn?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
So your first thing is to go talk to a lawyer.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I could be more specific than that, but there are...
You're talking about actually not doing these things, you know, about working it out together, and I thought that's what we had going.
Our goal is to work with the couple, so I would, in a collaborative setting, what we would do with your situation would be pretty straightforward. We'd get more information, so we'd want to know much more about exactly what the windfall was, when did it come in, what was your status with respect to your husband at the time, and we would gather the information. Stephanie would be pulling in some of the information about the financial aspects of the windfall and what's the source of the funds, and Anne may well be working with you guys to talk about something because this could be a very difficult and controversial question. And once we had the information, then the lawyers would make sure you understood what were the legal principles that are applied to the facts as we then would understand them. And you guys could reach a decision as to how you wanted to handle that particular resource, whether or not you wanted to... follow, if you will, the default model, or if you wanted to do something else.
You know,
so
Anne,
I'm
sorry, Carolyn, I'm a great believer in people educating themselves and being prepared to make intelligent decisions. And when you talk about a home that you acquired both with your own separate property and possibly community property, and it sounds like you and your husband have a fair amount of assets involved. I think it's very important for you to get some initial legal advice so that you can make an intelligent decision. And my suggestion to you, I've given the website for CPCal. I also suggest to you, you might want to go to the Board of Legal Specializations website and see if you might want to contact a certified specialist in family law for an initial consultation. And let me give you that website, and please jot it down if you would, www.calbar.ca.gov. CALBAR stands for the California Bar Association. And then on the left side of the screen, you can go to legal specialists, and then you can find out in your geographic area who the certified specialists in family law are. I think it's a great investment of your money for at least an initial consultation. I really do. And there's a lawyer referral service, and I'm going to give that in just a minute throughout the state.
Can I clarify, though? You're saying that the assets that I use
go ahead.
Contention, but is the deed itself in contention? I mean,
the deed is in contention. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not. I'm saying it's been quitclaimed, so I'm willing to talk about the assets that were used to purchase the house, but I don't want to give up house itself.
Well, sure.
That's
okay.
My property, right?
All right. Well, okay. You know what the potential issues are, and I think that's good. Where do you live, Carolyn?
In Alameda County.
In Alameda County? Okay. You know, they have a lawyer referral service there also, and I'm going to give the information with regard to the San Francisco Bar. And you can go to your Alameda County Bar Association lawyer referral service and see if you can contact a family lawyer there to get some initial advice, and it'll cost you maybe no more than for half an hour, $35. And it's a good way to start educating yourself. And good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling, and I hope you follow through in going to these couple of different websites or the Alameda County Bar. Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. For a referral to a lawyer, you can call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. Also, San Mateo County, the Bar Association there, pardon me, Lawyer Referral Service can also help you if you're there. You can call your own 650-369-4149. 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone experienced for you and set you up with a half-an-hour consultation. And in most counties throughout California, for a half-an-hour consultation, the cost will range between $25 to $35. It's a great investment for you, and I hope you take advantage of it, really. And sometimes also, in my experience with certified specialists, since the major funder of this program is the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, what I have learned in the relationship I've had with the board for over 20 years, there are certified specialists who will have an initial consultation with you and will not charge. But when you call a certified specialist, you need to ask, will there be an initial charge for the consultation? What will the charge be? Always don't be bashful about asking questions. That's what I think. Yeah, Ann, please.
This is Ann. I wanted to add one point for Carolyn, if she's still listening, and that is
I hope she is.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I wasn't sure whether the problem she was raising was completely a legal issue or whether there was also a communication issue with her spouse and whether it might not be helpful for her to be able to have a conversation with him about what his intentions are, what his thoughts are, mm-hmm. with the help of someone facilitating that conversation.
Yeah.
And that facilitator could be a mediator or a therapist or a neutral person who could help facilitate. Because I think the problem solving that's required in a divorce process often needs some facilitation to help with communication.
Yeah, she mentioned that there was a quitclaim deed. I'm assuming she's saying that her husband executed a quitclaim deed, but she's still not sure what, with respect to this case that appears to be going on, and she hopes it's not going to trial.
She's not sure what the law would require.
Right, that's right.
And my point is that their law may have a piece, have something to say about it, but that the most important piece is how they communicate with each other and in their relationship to solve the multitude of problems that they'll need to solve as they finish the divorce.
So I'm sort of hearing what you're saying, Anne, is that if she could talk with him, she may find out, she may be surprised and find out that,
right.
you know, yeah, he gets it, that that's hers, and he's not arguing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it may be. That may be the case. All right, the number 1415-841-4134, 1415-841-4134 for your legal rights. And Mary, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. My situation is not a divorce, so I hope that it's still something I can talk to you about. Our mom died, and she left her house to myself and my sister. And my sister's been sort of the in charge one. She lives in the same city where my mom did, and I don't. But at this point, it was in a family trust. I took us to a lawyer. We got it changed out of the trust into our two names, although we haven't gotten the paperwork yet. The lawyer's dragging his feet a bit on that. I expect to see something soon. I have seen the house for the first time in years just the other day. There's work that needs to be done. I want to sell it. I think my sister's not in agreement with me about that, but she has to go along with it because somebody apparently can force the sale. She had it tenanted, and at this point, she doesn't. But I don't have keys. I don't have any of the paperwork. I don't have any of the stuff about the mortgage we took out to take care of our mom.
Is there an executor of the trust, Mary?
Pardon me?
Is there an executor of this trust?
Oh, the two of us are the executors.
Oh, both of you are.
We're supposed to be co-executors.
You're co-executors.
Right.
And does your sister have the documents?
Well, apparently she's got some documents. She doesn't. We don't have yet the thing that says it's gone from the trust to. Well, we both have copies of the will, and.
But the trust is what's critical, it seems to me.
Yeah, well, I think actually we both have copies of the trust, but what I don't have is I don't have a key to the house.
Oh.
My sister has a realtor she wants to deal with. I have no idea who it is, and I've been sending my sister messages saying, you know, I want to at least get in and clean up the yard and.
I don't see this as a family law issue, really.
Oh,
but go ahead, Anne.
Well,
please.
This is Anne.
What I'm thinking is that because she's not cooperating with me, she's claiming to be too busy with all sorts of things, and I'm saying that I can deal with some of it. But since I don't even have keys or whatever, I'm wondering if I need to see a lawyer or someone who does mediation to write a letter for me.
Let me get Anne to respond.
Yeah, this
to you,
is
Mary.
A family issue. This is a family relationship that's being distressed right now. So it's not a divorce, but it is a family issue.
No.
And it sounds like you and your sister could use some help in communicating with each other and talking with each other, and perhaps you could invite your sister to sit down with a neutral third party to have an open conversation about the issues around the house.
I have a suspicion the sister's going to say I'm too busy.
Well, she's telling me she has a lot of issues happening in her life, so is one of the reasons why I would volunteer to do some of the meeting with people to clean it up and that sort of thing.
Where is the home located, Mary?
The home's in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It sounds like you need to at least have a conversation together. This is
yeah, we do, and she doesn't respond to emails, text, to this, to that.
There's a lack of communication here.
And that so often is actually the seed that gets planted that develops into an unfortunate conflict, high conflict litigation.
Yeah.
I actually would mention to you, Mary, I hope it never gets to the place where you have to deal with significant conflict. The collaborative process is becoming quite available in non-family law, non-divorce areas. So as a, for instance, Santa Clara County is a very active group who work in trusts and estates and with the resolution of family disputes around the allocation of the financial resources in a family where someone has died or they have questions around inheritance and that sort of thing. So it's not an area where I practice. I don't know anything beyond that, but I know that it's a spreading phenomenon, and we also are seeing it in landlord-tenant. Mm-hmm. We're also seeing it in medical malpractice, areas where relationship will continue to be important.
And having the mental health professional in that conversation is hugely helpful.
Would it be helpful? Mary, let me interrupt if you don't mind for just a moment. Would it be helpful to Mary to go to the cpcal.org website and see if there is someone who she might find in the San Francisco area to see if she might.
My suggestion would be to check the San Francisco collaborative lawyer for this particular purpose, who, even if that person's not directly involved in trusts and estates and that's a probate, may be able to refer her to people who are. That would be my best guess on that one.
The San Francisco Collaborative Practice Group has a website,
yes,
and you'll be able to Google it and find it easily.
Okay, Collaborative Process San Francisco.
Collaborative Practice.
So what you would do, Mary, is go to the major website for the statewide organization, CPCAL. It's www.cpcal.org, and then look for San Francisco.
Correct.
And that will give you the local.
It's pretty simple, actually. Yeah. It's Collaborative Practice San Francisco.
Okay. Oh, that's very simple. And the other thing that you may want to do, Mary, in my opinion, is it may be that you do want to make contact with a certified specialist in estate planning, trusts and probate law, and at least have an initial consultation. And that's why you might want to go to www.calbar.ca.gov and go to legal specialists. But I think at this point, with the lack of communication that you are having from your sister, it's going to take a little bit of help of somebody else to help you kind of get the attention of your sister, in my opinion.
Yeah, she's got too many other things going on.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is something that has to be taken care of and can't be just put off.
Yeah, that's my thought.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the www.something.gov?
That is for the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. You can find, if you go to that, and I'll give it to you again in just a minute, you can find that there are certified specialists in San Francisco in estate planning, trust, and probate law, and that's www.calbar.ca.gov. And then you go to the left of your computer screen and look for legal specialists, and that will tell you who the certified specialists in trusts and estates and estate planning are in San Francisco.
Oh, great.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
And I think it'd be worth it for you to, even if you have to invest a little bit of money initially, I think it's a very good investment, in my opinion. And I've been practicing law. This is the 49th year I've been practicing law. And I'm a consumer advocate in my job as a deputy DA for San Mateo County. So I'm urging you to, you know, get some advice from a professional.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, take care. Thanks very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right. We have, at this point, Maya. Maya, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, thank you. Hi.
Hi there.
My question is the next. I've been married for 14 years. I've been separated for two. We have a four-year-old son, and for different reasons, I moved from my house. So I have to leave my house. My husband refused to leave the house, so I have to move.
Mm.
So because I have to move from the house, he's been, controlling, so trying to control the situation with my child, so he decides a lot of things in regards to him. So right now, my son is in a school that we really like, where he's really happy. And because I don't want to get back together, he decided that he wanted to move him from school right now where he's in preschool. So that's one of my issues. Then my other issue is that since I moved from the house, and at the time that we purchased this house, I didn't have documents. I was working on my green card, and then to become a citizen, I wasn't on the deed of the house. And now he's planning to sell the house.
Oh, okay.
That's the second issue. And then my third.
Well, now, wait a minute. No, we can't take all of these issues, Maya. You do not have an attorney, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and where do you live? What county?
Alameda County.
You're Alameda County, okay.
Yeah.
One thing that you may want to do, I mean, you have many, many issues, and you cannot deal with this without having the help of competent legal advice. Let me give you, I've given some websites already. Did you write anything down that I've talked about before?
Yes.
Okay, here's Alameda County Bar Association, and you may want to contact them and have an appointment with someone in the lawyer referral service. It's 510-302-2222, 510-302-2222. You might want to have an initial consultation with someone through the lawyer referral service who does family law to give you some idea of what's ahead of you. But I think you need to educate yourself by getting some initial advice. It'll be $35, I think, for the lawyer referral service, and then you can start to really think about what you can do. And if are you working, by the way?
I'm a part-time.
You're a part-time, and is your husband working?
Yeah, he works.
Okay, so you as someone who may be facing a divorce, it sounds like, are as far as the courts in California law are concerned, you're not going to be put in a situation where you're going to be have no legal advice whatsoever, and that nobody will, you know, that you're, because you're only working part-time, your husband will have a responsibility. So you need to start being more aggressive in terms of getting some competent legal advice. Any comments from anybody, George?
No, I would say exact same thing. Talk to the lawyer referral center.
We also recommend that you might want to go to the Divorce Options Workshop.
Yeah.
And the Divorce Options Workshop schedule and calendar and all the different places that it's being held is at the website, the cpcal.org website.
Did you get that down, Maya? Did you get the CPCal?
Yeah.
You did. Okay. That may be a very good thing for you to do as soon as you can. Is there one that you know of that's in Alameda County?
There's one in Alameda.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's usually toward the end of the month, as I understand the schedule.
Lafayette's second Saturday.
Lafayette is the second Saturday?
Yeah. Second Saturday.
Second Saturday. Okay, so that's gone.
But she can go to any of the divorce options workshops if she would like to go to the one in San Francisco or in Marin County.
Yeah,
I mean, they're open to any.
You know, that's a great way to start educating yourself, Maya. You really need to do that. And I presume at this point you have the primary custody of your 4-year-old son. Is that right?
No, I don't.
Oh.
No, what Maya was saying is that her son was with her husband in the home, and she left the home.
Okay.
That's what I heard you say.
All right.
Now, I don't know enough about your situation, Maya, but in a collaborative process, if your husband was willing to participate in a collaborative process and if that was feasible for you, we would probably propose a child specialist be involved with your family to help you and your husband come up with a parenting plan that made sense for the future for you and your son and your husband, and maximize your child's time with both parents.
And that child specialist is actually a particularly important and trained professional as part of a collaborative team that is not aligned with either of the parents, but is really a voice for the children. And it's the only divorce process of which I am aware in which the children's voice is brought into the process in a way that is protective of the children and respects their privacy while bringing the information to the parents in a way that allows them to take that information to plan what is an appropriate parenting approach for this particular child or children in their family as they work through. A very, very valuable person on the team.
Okay.
And Maya,
that's exactly my concern, the fact that right now my son is 50% of the time with him, 50% of the time with me.
I thought you had a significant amount of time with the child. Okay, we're very good. Well, this is what you got to do, Maya. I hope you follow through.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, all right. Okay. Well, very good, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
I'm very glad you called. Take care. We have a few minutes left. If you would like to pose a question, a comment, a concern to my guests, it's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. And again, I want to remind you that next week we are going to have our Call a Lawyer night where you can talk with attorneys off the air, 1-800-525-9917. On the air, I'm going to be doing a program on medical malpractice with Jack McGehee, who's a specialist in personal injury trial practice and the president-elect of the National Board of Legal Specialty Certification. So in any event, we will have a number of persons. If you didn't get a chance to call in, we always, for Call a Lawyer Night, with rare exception, we always have a certified specialist in family law who you can talk with off the air. We have a number of other legal areas of attorneys who are here, 7 or 8 attorneys. And then for those of you who are hounded by creditors, let's say, and you want to find out should you file for bankruptcy, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, is available the next morning, which would be the April 24th, Thursday, April 24th in the morning. And I'll let you know more about that next week. In any event, if anybody has, and we have somebody here, let's see, we've got, my goodness, we have a bunch of women with starting with the word, with the letter M. Mary Ann, welcome to the program. You're going to be the last caller. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. I've been listening to your program for years, and I'm an attorney practicing here in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Actually an intellectual property, and I'm on the ENE panel for the federal court where I practice ADR. I'm very concerned about these guests not being particularly honest about how much it actually costs people to avail themselves of their services. I think they ought to be talking clearly about what their hourly rates are and what their fee arrangements are, so that people like Maya and some of these other people who've called in, who clearly don't have the resources to afford a process like this, actually are not steered to something like this, which is inappropriate, but are steered to nonprofit organizations and legal services that will, where there are people who honestly can help them for a reasonable price. And I'm really surprised. I have a lot of respect for you, Chuck, but I'm really surprised that a process which clearly is very valuable to, say, people in Marin County is being pitched to people who clearly don't have the assets and would be barely served and waste a lot of their time.
Marianne, thank you. Thank you for your comments. I appreciate you making those comments. I'm a great believer in when people go to seek help, wherever they go, that they have the feeling that they have the right to ask questions. What are you going to charge? What is this going to cost me? I cannot in any one program cover every issue possible. I think you must know that. And if people find out by going to the lawyer referral service or going to the Board of Legal Specialization or going to CP Cal, they're going to find out whether or not they can afford it. George, go ahead.
Yeah. No process is for everyone, Marianne, and we recognize that. And I think that one of the interesting things about the collaborative process is that at the very first time that we actually sit down in order to create the plan for this particular case, one of the very first questions that's addressed is, what are the resources that are going to be necessary in order to make this a successful case? If the resources aren't there, then we absolutely will be looking at whatever alternatives are available to this family to resolve their situation in as respectful a manner as we can.
Any other comments for her?
Told Maya about a very low-cost resource to be able to understand all of her options for process, getting a divorce process.
Yeah, this is Anne. We suggested that she go to a divorce options workshop. One of the things that we talk about at the divorce options workshops are the low-cost alternatives, including a do-it-yourself process, so she could educate herself about that. And people just, the reason we want people to learn about their process options is so that they can make the right choice for their family.
And budget ahead of time.
And budget. And so we'd like people to go to cpcal.org and see what information is available to them about the option, about the divorce options workshops in their area so that they can learn.
I want to thank you very much for joining us on the program. George Richardson, certified specialist in family law in Palo Alto. Stephanie Maloney, certified financial planner and certified divorce financial analyst in Playa del Rey, Southern California. And Anne Bouchot, Dr. Anne Bouchot, clinical psychologist and immediate past president of Collaborative Practice Marin. Her office is in San Rafael. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Your Legal
us.
Rights thank production you. Staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights has been made possible for this program by the Family Law Section of the State Bar, by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Additional funders of Your Legal Rights are the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Next week is our Call a Lawyer night, 1-800-525-9917, if you can join us. The topic on the air will be a discussion of personal injuries, death caused by medical malpractice. My guest will be Jack McGeehee, a specialist in personal injury trial practice and President-elect of the National Board of Legal Specialty Certification. Thank you very much for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.